Hi Tom, how you doing?
I'm alright, mate, you?
Yeah, not bad at all. So, doing magic in this day and age,
yes.
Close-up magic like yourself, how did you have to learn all new little techniques and all that kind of stuff, or what?
What, because of, obviously...
COVID, yeah. And close-up?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right, it has been difficult trying to figure out of what you can do, because obviously people can't select a card. They can't sign the card. They can't take any objects from you. So it all has to be COVID safe, where they're not touching any of your props whatsoever. So as a magician, I did have to sit back and go, right, how can I do this? How can I adapt? And originally, I did think that the magic is going to massively suffer. But when I did think about it more and more, I realised there is still a lot of magic you can do whilst in this pandemic. You just have to think outside the box. For instance, instead of them taking a card, you would ask them to name a card. And instead of them signing it, you would say, what would you like me to draw on the card? So you draw, as a magician, draw something on. So therefore, now they know that there's only one of those cards, because they could have said anything, you know. So you just have to think outside the box, really. But no, it has definitely been difficult, and it still is.
So you're a member of the Magic Circle?
Yeah, I am.
I thought that was like a bit of a gag, like the Radio Authority and all that kind of stuff.
No, it's real.
I'm not a member of the Radio Authority, but it makes people think, ooh, he's a member of the Radio. There's not a Radio Authority,
right? I see.
So it is actually a thing, then.
It is a thing. The Magic Circle is real. I'm a member of the Magic Circle. It's the headquarters is based in London, and they've got a lot of members, and it's been going for a very, very, very long time.
So with the Magic Circle, has this been brought up, this COVID secure way of doing things? Have people about this? Or
Yeah. There's been lectures and things like that, and there's been a lot of support from the Magic Circle for its members and things like that. We're getting through it, and hopefully it'll all be over and we can all go back to normal. We're getting through, and for instance... you know, I'm here, I'm doing magic today, and it's all COVID safe, so, you know, it is possible to do it.
So, take me back on your journey then. What was the first trick you ever did? Why did you want to do magic? take me on the Tom journey.
Okay, the Tom journey, okay. So, I've been doing magic since I was around 7 years old. It was my granddad who first introduced me into magic, So he used to teach me magic, and he knew a lot of sort of tricks that he used to show to all his friends in the World War II, and you know, don't mention the war. And I also got into entertainment from watching reruns of Tommy Cooper and Paul Daniels and Wayne Dobson on TV.
Let me stop you there. Interesting, yeah. You bring up Wayne Dobson.
Yes,
I used to love watching him at the Royal Variety Performances.
He is amazing,
hilariously funny.
He's awesome. I perform with him on stage as well.
You have?
Yes, I have.
So, why do people remember Paul Daniels, but they don't remember Wayne Dobson?
That's really interesting, because I'm really happy that you know who Wayne Dobson is. Because a lot of people obviously do know Wayne Dobson, but they know Paul Daniels more.
Yeah.
However, the only reason why is because obviously Wayne Dobson, unfortunately, got diagnosed with MS, and that's, I think, his TV career just slowly sort of disappeared because of that, because he was unable to work on TV. I think he was able to work on TV, but maybe, I don't know, I don't know why.
So I didn't know that.
He's still around. He's still doing magic. He's still amazing. All of them to pieces. He's such a really, really nice guy. He is amazing. He's still funny. What happened was, is his fame in the public sort of died down a little bit, but his fame massively grew in the magic industry. He is now like a god to magicians. Oh. Yeah. His popularity disappeared in the public eye, but then it grew massively in the magic industry, and now he's just, you know, everyone just honours him around the world. So yeah.
So let's get back to the Tom journey then.
Yeah. So I used to love watching Wayne Dobson. I thought he was hilarious. I love watching Tommy Cooper. Tommy Cooper was another one of my heroes. But I also love that style of comedy. Like, I love Cannon and Ball, and I loved Morecambe and Wise, and I loved, you know, the old comedy sitcoms like Only Fools and Horses and Porridge and, you know, and Fawlty Towers. So that's where I love the idea of entertaining people came from was all of those mixed together. And I didn't know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to be a magician. I just knew I wanted to entertain people. I knew I wanted to be on stage, make people laugh. I just didn't know what form it was going to be. And I've been an actor, I've been in lots of comedy plays and stuff like that. But magic, what I love about magic is you can be anything. You can be a comedian, you can be mysterious, you can really freak people out, you can read people's minds. You're basically, as a magician, you are an actor playing the role of a magician. So that's what I love about magic, is you can be anyone you want to be.
So what was the first trick you ever did?
The first trick I ever did, well, I think it was...
I used to have a Paul Daniels magic set.
I think everyone did.
I think I did the wobbly wand.
The wobbly pencil.
Yeah.
I think that was probably one of the first things I probably learned was actually the wobbly pencil. There was another one where you take a match and you put it in a napkin and you snap it and then you open it and it's restored. That was a pretty good one. It was rubbish. It was good when you were 7 years old. I don't know, the old coin from behind the ear was always the one. I don't know, so yeah, my granny used to show me sort of tricks, you know, with cards and stuff like that, and it just grew from there. And I never knew that I was going to be a magician. I just wanted to do it as a hobby, and I just loved fooling my friends. And then from that I started working in a magic shop back in Cleethorpes in the seafront. I started working there on the weekends, so that's where it started to really sort of kick in. I joined my local magic club. So this wasn't the magic circle, this was just a local magic club where amateur magicians sort of got together and showed each other stuff like that. And then from there, it just sort of grew and grew. Got to about 16, and I think I did my first proper gig at 16 years old. And then I sort of went away from it again. And then I think it was only when I was 21... I thought, right, I want to try and give this as a proper go. A lot of people thought it was a joke. They thought I was stupid to try and, you know, how are you going to make money? You know, rolling your eyes, oh, I want to be a magician and all that. And, you know, people start taking the mick. Oh, where are you going to be? You're going to be in Vegas. And they start putting you down, don't they? But I didn't listen to them. I just carried on. And now I'm 35. And it's one of the best jobs you could ever have. I've travelled all the way around the world. I've been invited to Vegas. I've been invited to America on many occasions. I perform on cruise ships. And it's literally one of the best jobs you can have. So, yeah, absolutely love it.
I want to talk to you about the big stage shows.
Yep.
Because I was brought up watching at Easter, Bank Holiday Monday, in the afternoon, used to settle down. David Copperfield would come on the telly, walk through the Great Wall of China, escape from Alcatraz.
Yeah.
And I used to, the lighting was amazing, the showmanship was amazing, he was slick.
Yeah, he was.
So, do you ever do anything like that on a bigger stage, or would you want to do anything like that?
I love doing stage magic, I love it, but I'm not, no way. I'm in a completely different category as David Copperfield, so I am definitely more comedy based. Definitely British comedy. So it's kind of, I am sort of not Tommy Cooper, but I definitely do a lot of Tommy Cooper mannerisms. I definitely take a lot of his timing, but my magic tricks don't go wrong like Tommy Cooper's did. But I definitely
was planned though, wasn't it?
Of course it was, yeah, absolutely. He was a genius. I sort of take his timing and sort of comedy, and I love that. I do a lot of stage. I say I do cruise ships. I do a big comedy magic stage show. I don't do like huge illusions. I'm not walking through a wall or sawing a woman in half. And that is also, and if you want to go and be an illusionist, which is fantastic, something I'd never do. I might have one illusion in my show, or maybe two, but that'd be it. You know, and it would probably be a comedy piece, and so you'd blow up or something. If you want to do the illusionist thing, it can be. It's extremely expensive. Some of these illusions cost a lot of money. David Copperfield, yeah, he is amazing, and he's slick, and I've met him.
I needed to bring that up on this interview. He's a hero of mine. Again, I grew up watching him.
Yeah. Really nice guy as well.
You know, he's, you know, got a bit of a man crush on the guy in the 1980s and early 90s.
Yeah,
he looked amazing on stage.
Yeah.
And when I started to do my discos as a teenager, I kind of donned that. I did have hair back then. So I donned the look a little bit and oh, wow. took on the David Copperfield slickness.
Yeah.
You know, doing my weddings.
Brilliant.
So what's he like in real person?
He's really cool, really approachable. He's really interested in you. So he's not... He doesn't want to talk about himself. He wants to know who you are. So that's a really nice thing. He's just a really nice guy. So I've seen his stage show... it's either twice or three times. I think it's twice. I've seen his show twice in Vegas. And after the show, if you're a magician, so if you mention it, you know, you're a magician, you sometimes are able to get a photo with him and stuff like that. And I also had the privilege of going back to one of his house parties with his manager, Chris Kenner. We went to a magic convention in Vegas called Magic Live. It's one of the biggest ones in the world. And Chris Kenner invited quite a lot of us to go back to a house party where David Copperfield was. And he was just chilled out, sat on the chair, just having a beer. In fact, in one point, he was sat on my jacket, and he didn't do it on purpose. Yeah. But I put my jacket.
Please tell me you said no. David Copperfield getting off my jacket.
Know, I was like, I nearly went. I was thinking, my jacket was rested on the back, and he was sat. And I was thinking, dude, you sat on my jacket. I went up to him. I said, look, dude. I was nearly went up to him. That's from Top Man. That is from Top Man, that jacket. It cost me about 80 quid.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are you doing?
And he clicked his fingers and you vanished.
Yeah, and that's a band from Vegas. So I said, no, I didn't. I just thought, I'll just let him sit on it. And then, no. But no, it was, in fact, we arrived, me and three others, we arrived at the house party actually first. There was no one there but us three and Chris Kenner, and we walked outside in the pool area just having a drink, and then literally from the shadows, David Copperfield literally just walks out of, like, there's a pool, and he walks out of the shadows like, hi guys. And I was like, oh, what? It was like so weird.
I'm doing it with you. Oh, whoa. I wasn't there.
No, it was great.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. Great experience. I hope to go back. I would have gone back to Vegas this year, but no, hopefully go to Vegas next year. Magic Live. Probably meet David Copperfield again. Maybe, you never know, try and muscle into the house party for a second time. But take a different jacket.
Fantastic, fantastic. Listen, Tom, thank you very much for your time and the interview anyway. Yeah. Do you reckon there's a future for magic, is there? Or,
yeah, of course.
Or is it getting a little bit like old-fashioned?
No.
You know, I'm not going to use the word cheesy.
Magic hasn't been cheesy since David Blaine came along in the 90s and changed it forever. I love David Blaine. He is amazing. In fact, he is the best, and he is the original street magician.
He scares me a little. Is he the one that, like, sat in that glass?
Yeah, alright. He did it. I mean, I'm talking, I've never been a huge fond of his stunts, but his close-up magic specials are out of this world. They're amazing. So if you go back to the original David Blaine, where he did street magic, I think there's two series. I think they are amazing, really, really good. And he also did another one, which going a few years back, where he's performing to the likes of Robert De Niro and things like that. That's a great episode and special as well. That's brilliant. And it's close-up magic. He's not doing the stunts. He's just doing close-up magic, and the close-up magic's unreal. And what I love about David Blaine's magic is that it's real. It's, you know, as a magician, when you're watching it, he can do that. You know it's not special effects, and you know he's not using camera tricks. You know that he's actually doing that for real. And that's what I love and respect about David Blaine.
Dynamo, is he one of your favourites as well?
I think I like Dynamo. Dynamo's cool. I like Dynamo. Dynamo's a really nice guy as well. Really down to earth. And I've met Dynamo as well. And he's just really polite, keeps himself to himself, or talk to anyone, just really nice, polite guy. I have not met David Blaine, but I've heard that he's a nice guy too, so
cool. Listen, all the best with your future in magic.
We'll
and,
see what happens.
Keep magic alive, because that's the one thing that I will stop everything for and just stand and watch.
Brilliant.
You see, there were TV shows on telly, weren't there, where they explained how they did stunts, or they explained, was it Penn and Teller that did it? Magic Explained.
Yeah, but they never. Penn and Teller have never really explained the trick. So what Penn and Teller are really clever at doing is giving away the secret, but they don't really give it away. They give it away in such a way that they're not really giving a secret away.
So what?
They're really clever.
So what? I don't want to watch those programs that explain a trick or.
Yes. You mean like?
I want to leave magic where it is. As yes. In, I want to watch it. I want to be amazed. Yeah. Leave it alone. I want to watch it again and be amazed. I don't want to try and work it out.
No, there was the Masked Magician going back quite a few years ago as well, and he explained a lot of and revealed a lot of illusions. He didn't really.
I bet he got kicked out of the circle, didn't he?
I don't want to know what happened to him, but I know we know who he is.
Oh, do you?
All the magicians know who he is. I mean, he revealed himself. So he revealed himself to the magic to the world, really, to who he was. But I don't know what he's doing now. But no idea. But yes. He started revealing magic. He mainly revealed illusions. He didn't really reveal close-up magic. So it didn't really bother me that much. But weirdly, for some people, that was their actual first introduction to magic. So. Some people watch The Masked Magician for the first time, and then they actually became a magician. So for some people, he was the first introduction, which is strange, but that's the way it is. So I guess The Masked Magician kind of did do something. I mean, I shouldn't say that, but it's all said and done now. But maybe he did re-spark magic for people out there. In fact, I can remember watching it as a kid, actually, and going, oh, wow, you know. I didn't realise at the time it was maybe tainting some magic illusions because I was only a kid. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that.
Right, so where can people find you and learn more about you if they want to hire you, if they want to see you?
Yeah, brilliant. Well, all you got to do is really simple. If you put in my name, Tom Wright Magician, into Google, or Tom Wright Magician into Instagram, or Tom Wright Magician into Facebook, you'll have all my details. My website is really simple. It's tomwrightmagic.com. That's it, tomwrightmagic.com. Wright with a W. Although I've never met a Wright without the W, but I know that they exist.
Oh, that's magic on its own, isn't it? Where are they?
I don't know.
Fantastic. Right, Tom, thank you very much for your time, anyway.
Okay, thank you very much. Cheers, mate.